You guys could move up a little bit. You guys are back row Baptists.
Is it coming through the speakers? Oh, there it is. Ah, they had to push the right button, I guess. So, and you thought I was the one pushing buttons. So. Anyway, here we are in verse 16. Paul begins by saying, so, walk in the Spirit. First thing I want you to understand is walk, that word term walk. There are two terms here in walk, and depending upon your translation, you see that term walk right there in verse 16, but also down in verse 25. It says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step in the NIV. Other translations, I think, say walk. Most translations probably say walk right there, okay? But I want you to understand, there are two different words. We're going to discuss that. But the first, this word that we're looking at in verse 16 is a word that means kind of walking around. It's this general idea of as you walk, as you're going, it's not direction, it's not pointed, you're not lined up in a certain way. You're just kind of going, walking around. And the concept that Paul is saying is as you go through your life, as you're walking, as you're living, it's this walk is oftentimes referred to as the conduct of your life, the way you conduct yourself. So as you live your life, as you walk through life, as you go through life, be in the Spirit. In other words, let the Spirit so encompass you that no matter where you go, the presence of God is there. If you run over here, the presence of God is there with you because you're walking in the Spirit. Where you're going in the way life you're conducting yourself in, the way you're living, the Spirit of God is there with you. His presence abides with you. And this is what Paul is talking about. He says, so conduct yourself in such a way that your life has the presence of God's Spirit wherever you go. So it's not like you go here and you put on your hat for business and say, and you become that cutthroat, ruthless wheeler dealer, and it doesn't matter who you hurt as long as you make your profit. You don't put that hat on here and forget about the Spirit. The Spirit comes with you into your business life. You don't go over here to your classroom, to your school, to your entertainment places or wherever you go and put on a different hat and say, okay, now I can do this, or I can cheat on my papers, I can cheat on this, I can cheat on that. Where, you know, you don't live two different lives. Conduct yourself with the presence of the Spirit so he's walking with you always, surrounding your life. You're conducting yourself as God himself, as Christ himself would conduct himself in this world. And he goes on, he says, if that's the life that you're living, if you choose to live in such a way that the Spirit's presence is with you always, he says, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Remember in the past verse, he was saying, you got freedom. You're free in Christ. You're not restricted. And this walking in the Spirit doesn't restrict you. You can go where you want, kind of thing. But conduct yourselves in such a way that you're not fulfilling those desires of the flesh. He wants us to understand that when the Spirit is there and present and we're allowing the power of God to flow through us, we don't have to worry about the desires of the flesh. It'll take care of itself. They'll be off to the side because we're living the way God wants us to live. Anyway, he says, for the flesh, this is the interesting part. He goes on verse 17, he says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, I've mentioned to you guys before that Romans is kind of the unabridged version of Galatians. I don't know if that's a good way to say it. I've tried to say it in a variety of ways. But Romans takes what Paul writes here in Galatians and expands upon it, okay? Galatians was one of the first books that Paul wrote. He wrote it to the Galatians, as we've seen, to address a specific issue, that of legalism, okay, and the Judaizers wanting people to put aside the grace of God and try to live by the law, okay? So he wrote it for a specific purpose. But he brings up these concepts, and here in verse 17, he brings up this battle that's going on between the Spirit and the flesh. that they are contrary. They're at odds with one another. They do battle, and they're fighting against each other. He takes the same concept, and he expands it in Romans chapter 7. If you have a Bible, just flip over there real quick, and you can take a look at it. In Romans chapter 7, verse 15. Now, you can read this whole passage. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but all the way in through, including chapter 18, okay? Or chapter 8, not 18, I'm sorry. Getting my verses and my chapters mixed up. But through chapter 8, all of this deals with this conflict that's going on between the spirit and between the flesh, okay? In verse 15, Paul says, I do not understand what I do. You guys ever wonder why you do what you do? Paul says here, I don't understand it. Paul, who was one of the greatest theologians, Paul, who's our instructor, our teacher today, and he didn't understand why he does what he does. And he says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, in other words, when I want to please God and I want to serve the Spirit and I want to live in the spiritual realm, he says, I do not do it. But what I hate, that which is of the flesh, that which is carnal, that which is going to take me away from God, harm other people, harm myself, that which I hate, I do it. Chapter 7, verse 15. Romans, chapter 7, verse 15. It's okay. It's okay. I'm glad you asked. Gives me a chance to reiterate. So he says, in verse 16, he says, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. Paul is pointing out that the law has its purpose, its place, it's a guide, it's a tutor. It helps us understand the heart of God. But he says, and if I'm doing these things that I don't want to do, then I'm looking at the law and saying, yes, the law is good. It's instructing me. It's doing what it's supposed to do. But I'm powerless to change my behavior, he says. In verse 17, as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. Remember, we inherited the sin nature when Adam and Eve fell in the garden. Every one of us were cursed, received the same curse, and we've inherited that sin nature that abides in us. And it's at work within us, fighting against the Spirit of God to keep us chained in sin, okay? In verse 18, for I know that the good itself does not dwell in me, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. You see, Paul is mentioning this contrast, this battle that's going on in verse 19. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Don't you guys ever feel that way? Why, God? You look in your life. Heaven knows how many times I catch myself doing what I know I shouldn't do. And have you ever gotten caught up in an argument with somebody and you think, you stop in the middle of it and you think to yourself, you go, this is stupid. Why am I having this fight? They're right, and I'm still fighting them. You ever done that? Well, that's this nature that's in us, that we fight against the very good that God has given to us. His good and his existence. And Paul is saying it's a battle within us. Now, I was hoping Theodora was going to be here today, because she always corrects me, and it helps me straighten out on these things, because she studied a lot of this stuff, and she comes from a different background. So I, and here's the thing. I'm not positive, and don't quote me, because I just can't remember. But it struck me as I was studying this. I remember the old story about two monks that were good, you know, worshiping together, and the one monk, the older, wiser monk, was telling the younger monk about the fact that about this struggle, this very struggle that Paul's describing here. He says, sometimes I'm torn inside me, and I want to do good, but I find that I don't do it, and I end up doing the bad that I don't want to do. And he says, and he describes it to him. He says, it's kind of like an angel and a devil. Okay, and you've all seen the cartoons, right? I think this was Luther that said this, Martin Luther, but I don't know that for sure, okay? So don't hold me to it. But and he says it's like we have these two entities. And you remember in the cartoons, that's my image. I learned this when I was a kid. And there was an angel on one side, and he's telling you, yeah, this is the good thing to do, and that's the good thing you should do. And the devil's over here, and he's telling you the bad thing. No, 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 do this and do this. And we end up listening to the devil so often. And this is the conflict that Paul is describing. It's the conflict that Martin Luther was talking about. And there, at this point, the younger monk says to Martin Luther, he says, well, who wins? Who wins this battle? And Martin Luther looked at him and said, it's the one I feed the most. Doesn't that make you think for a second? Which one are you feeding? Which part of your nature are you feeding? Are you feeding the Spirit of God? Are you spending that time with Him, allowing His Spirit to come and to nourish you and provide the refreshment and strength that you need? Or are you feeding that part of your nature that's carnal? I can start off in the morning with all the best intentions, committed to God, have a great quiet time with God, a great experience, some nice prayer, study the Word of God. I can get all that stuff done, and next thing you know, I'm engaged in something I shouldn't be doing. Isn't that horrible? Watching that movie or thinking those thoughts about that person that complained about my sermon, my great sermon, you know? And we find that we go through these things. That's that human nature that abides with every one of us. And this is why Paul is saying it's so crucial that you learn to walk in the Spirit, so that the Spirit is there always around you, always protecting you, always walking with you to nourish that nature, the godly nature that God wants to see developed. So back in Galatians... Okay, I'm back over in Galatians. You can read the rest of chapter 7 and 8, and it goes on. It's a wonderful, it's a great illustration, and it reminds us. And I like the next verse, in the first verse in chapter 8. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation. It's, Paul says, even though I still do all the things I shouldn't do, in Christ I've been forgiven, and in Christ I have victory, is kind of the rest of the chapter 8. We have that victory. It's not right now, and we're going to continue to fight this battle while we're on this earth, but we have been told, we know the outcome, we know that He wins, and because He wins, we have the victory. Isn't that, He fought the battle, we get to claim victory, isn't that neat? Anyway, okay, back to the passage. Back to the sermon. Okay, we're done with the sidebars. It says, so they are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. And a lot of people think, you know, oh, well, what I want to do are the bad things, and I can't do those because the Spirit's there telling me. No, it's the other way. It's the other way. It's the things that you want to do are the good, but the conflict is because the bad part of our nature is keeping us, the flesh, the carnal nature is keeping us away. He says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. We've been given the freedom. There is now no condemnation. So then Paul, in verse 19, he goes off and he's going to provide a couple of lists and give descriptions as to what are the characteristics, if you want to put it, the outcomes, one of the carnal nature, and what are the outcomes of the Spirit-filled life, okay? So he goes on and he lists those. And I thought about this, and I thought about, well, you know, we could do a study here, and I could go through, and I could give you the Greek words and tell you what they mean and how they apply to our life and our society today, and on, I give you all this list of all the terrible things that we can do and enumerate the means by which we can sin against God, okay? I could tell you all that. But, you know, and I know there are preachers that do that, and they do a good job. You always feel guilty whenever you walk out, okay? Because it doesn't matter what you do, you're guilty, okay? And we are. But that's not me. I'm not one who looks at the guilt. I look at the grace that God has given. I want to get to the other side of it. But I do want you to understand, there are some characteristics here. He enumerates them. He talks about the immorality, the impurity, the debauchery, idolatry. He talks about these. And there are those who talk and point out how these are qualities. And if you go through this list, for the most part, what you're going to see are the actions. Okay, these are all things that are involved in active. They're They're active in the sense of it's hatred, it's discord, it's jealousy. He talks about murder in some of these lists that he gives and stuff. Talks about drink. These are things that we actively engage in, I guess is what I want to say. And he's talking about stuff that we do. They're actions. They're things that we do, okay? Whereas if you go down to verse 22, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, fruit doesn't do anything, does it? It just hangs there. It just becomes. Do you get a difference there? You see, when we follow our carnal nature, we go out and we get involved in the things that we shouldn't be doing. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to come and be producing us the fruit of the Spirit, he's changing our being. He's making a difference on who we are, and we become what God wants us to be. When we allow the Holy Spirit to nourish us, when we draw from the vine, remember the imagery that we talked about last week? Jesus said, I am the vine and you're the branches. And if when we plug into that vine, we draw from it and we produce the fruit. And the fruit is just there. It's because of our relationship with God that it produces within us. If we're not having the fruit, I'd say it's because we're not connected to the vine. We're not drawing our nourishment from Him. Okay, so he goes on. There's another thing I'd like you to note. In addition to that, the fruit of the Spirit is divided up, and there are people that talk about it. It's more about attitudes. One is the carnal things that Paul describes are activities or actions. Okay, whereas what Paul describes in the fruit are attitudes, and if you look, those attitudes could be kind of divided up, and you know there's a lot of ways to group them. But one is, if you see one, they talk about your attitudes towards God, your attitudes towards others, and your attitudes towards yourself. If you look at these different fruits, your attitudes towards God, your attitudes towards others, and your attitudes towards yourself. God is working on making us complete, making us whole. And he does that by healing the entire spirit, all of us. So our relationship with God is right, our relationships with others are right, and our relationship with ourselves is right, okay? The other thing I want you to point out is if you look through that list of the carnal activities, what are they? What characterizes all of them? They're destructive. They're about destroying. They destroy relationships. They destroy individuals. All of you know, people who've been addicted to their immorality or to addicted to drugs or alcohol, what happens to their lives? They start off, they say, I'm free. You know, I'm. What does that say? Free? Oh, I don't want to say that. That's racist, okay? Can't say that. Free blank and 21, so I can do what I want, okay? Okay, yeah. I don't want to say it, though, okay? Because I don't. And the point is that we get to that point and we think, well, then we can indulge our carnal nature in any way we want. And so we go out and we do these things and we say, because I'm free, I can do this. And what ends up happening, because of that addiction to the drugs, because of that addiction to the alcohol, because of that involvement in immorality, what ends up happening is our lives are destroyed. 5 years later, we have children out of wedlock. We have children possibly that have been aborted. We have a life that's destroyed, that families have been destroyed because of alcohol or drug addictions, and we find nothing but destruction in that kind of a lifestyle. Whereas in the fruit of the Spirit, what you find is a dynamic aspect. You find fruit that is growing, that's dynamic, that's alive, it's producing something, it's contributing in our society. And you find that this is always going on. I remember a debate that they had between an atheist and a preacher, and they were debating about the proof of who God is. And this guy who was the atheist wanted to get this preacher to stop, and he says, all you're doing is you know, making people feel guilty. And he says, no, I'm telling people about Jesus Christ and offering them to them a new life. And they said, Well, let's have this debate, and I'll prove to you. The atheist says, I can prove to you there's no God. And the preacher says, fine, let's do it. And so they get out there, and the atheist starts his debate, and he lays out all his things. And when he finishes, the preacher doesn't say anything, but whenever he's finished, then the preacher looks over at him and says, that's great. He says, listen, here's how I want to know the difference and how I can prove to you that there is a God. Fine, show me one person, who is a more productive citizen, whose life, who has been taken from a life of destitution, who, because they embraced your atheism, because they embraced the fact that there was no God, who now is a better person, has produced more, has contributed more to their family, has contributed more to society. One person, he says, and I'll show you hundreds that, because they met God and they embraced his love, have had changed lives and have become a better individual. And see, the power of God changes us. And this is the concept that Paul is saying. When the Holy Spirit, and you're walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes, he begins producing new attitudes in your life. And those attitudes produce a dynamic life, a life that is productive, a life that is full, a life that is complete. So Paul goes on there, and now he comes to the end of this, and he says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Now, one of the things I want you to understand is, how can you crucify yourself? Paul's not talking about you going out and crucifying yourself. You can't do it. You ever thought about it? So the Bible's not telling you to crucify yourself. You can't do it. All right? You can't drive those nails in your hands, okay, and hang on a cross by yourself. So what's he talking about? Remember, he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit being produced within you. And what he's telling you is, he says, Christ has already done that. He has crucified the flesh for you. He took your place. When he died on that cross, when I nailed him to that cross, when you nailed him to that cross, Christ took our nature upon himself, our sinful nature. He took my nature upon his cross. So my flesh has already been crucified. It's already happened, and it happened through Christ. And there, in that instance, when he crucified him, when Christ was crucified, I was crucified with him, with its passions and its desires. In Christ is what Paul is saying. And just like now, whenever I'm attached to the vine, whenever I'm a branch and I'm attached to the vine, now the character of Christ can flow through me into that branch. It can flow through me and into the fruit and produce the crop that God wants. But it flows from him, from the vine. And I can turn away from the passions, the desires, when I'm plugged in to the vine. He says in verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, I mentioned that this is another word for walk, and we translate it frequently walk. NIV tries to get back to the root Greek by saying in step. The concept here is not walking like the first walk, like you just kind of generally walking and the way you conduct your life. Now he's saying, now you can get in line. You can line up and you can follow the Holy Spirit. You can walk with the Holy Spirit. And instead of just roaming and taking the Spirit with you wherever you go, now you're allowing the Holy Spirit to direct your life. He's providing that place in you. And in that order that he brings, you have freedom. It's not slavery. It's not bound by chains and walking in a chain gang. But as we yield to him, we walk in the Spirit. And we walk in step with what God wants in our lives. And he says the result of that is that, well, he says, let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Reminding us that carnal nature is always there, ready to provoke, ready. And notice it starts with conceit. Let us not become conceited. What is conceit? It's that egocentric life. That is what Paul was talking about whenever he talked about the carnal nature. It's egocentric. It's all about me. Ginger was watching a movie yesterday. I'm telling on her. I'm going to get in trouble. She's watching a movie on the Hallmark Channel yesterday, okay? Okay. She does, okay? But this movie was about, and they have good happy endings, and they're great. But I just happened to pick up a little bit of it, okay? And she was watching, And I thought it was great. It was about an author and her journey, okay? And she discovered many things about herself. But she was an author, and she'd written a book, and it was titled Me First. Me First. And I happened to think, yeah, that's what our society is about. Me First. I can understand that about me, okay? I'm not so sure about. I think it should be me first, okay? I don't know about you guys, okay? But see, that's what our society teaches us. Me first. Now, she learned her lessons, and she turned away from that, okay? But the point was, is that's how we start. And Christ is telling us in our life, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, the me-first mentality will dissipate. It'll go away. Whenever we stop allowing the carnal nature to fulfill its desires, and instead we yield to the Holy Spirit, we learn to let Him lead us each day. My hope, my desire. You see, and here's the difference. People want the legalism so they can define, these are the things you don't do. You don't do this, you don't do this, you don't do this, okay? And we think that that brings us closer to God. That's not it, okay? That's the chains that Paul is talking about. But what it is whenever we allow the Spirit to lead us, then we're given the freedom to move. We're given the freedom to walk in His light. We're given the ability to produce the fruit in the attitudes in our lives that we want, that we know are right and good. But it's as we yield to the Holy Spirit. So the question today is, what's your commitment? You know, it's not a magic thing. It's about submission. 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 Are you yielding to God to let Him do through you what He's always wanted to do? Let's pray. Father, I pray that we might learn that submission to You. I pray, God, that we might learn to yield our lives. And I stand first and foremost here, just like Paul, God. I look at my life and I say, I struggle with this carnal nature constantly. But Father, I pray that I might learn to say yes to Your Spirit and to the work of Your Spirit within me. Father, I pray that as we go from this place, we might learn to give to others the grace that You've given to us. That, Father, that we might learn to walk in that Spirit so that the attitudes of Christ might be evident everywhere we go. So that when we go to the grocery store, God, when we go stand in line someplace, whenever we encounter other people, Father, that they see in us the same grace that You've given to us. May they see that and receive that grace from us. It's in Christ's name I pray and ask these things today. Amen.